Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, new information on the number of people who are in arrears on their energy bills. Brian O'Connell has been finding out if delays in driving tests are putting the brakes on hiring new bus drivers. We'll have live music too here in the studio from singer-songwriter Crea. And we all know how to slurp an ice cream on a warm summer day, but today we're going to find out what's in it, where did it first originate, and how to make it at home with Agnes Boucher-Hayes. Or if gardening is your passion, you'll know that the joy of it is often tempered by the aches and pains from the work. Well, today we've asked physio Jenny Brannigan and our gardening regular Mari Staunton to team up, and they're going to take questions too. 51551 for your text messages, or you can email todaycb@rte.ie. But we begin back at Leinster House, where members of RTE's board and leadership team, including the new Director General Kevin Backhurst, are appearing before the Public Accounts Committee as we speak. In his opening statement, which was provided to media and to the committee overnight, Kevin Backhurst said that the misreporting of Ryan Tuberty's salary and the stories that have emerged over the past 3 weeks represent one of the most shameful and damaging episodes in the organisation's history.
Irrespective of what those investigations ultimately conclude, a number of things are beyond dispute. RTE should not be brokering or facilitating commercial arrangements with its contractors. The level of fees in contracts of this nature are too high. We should have cooperated with greater transparency and should have applied much higher standards of honesty and integrity in terms of our public statements. The public were misled, as were you as public representatives. That's completely unacceptable. I want to assure you that lessons have already been learned and actions are already being taken. I welcome the formal review of governance at RTE as announced by Minister Martin. I hope it will help to inform important decisions that lie ahead as to how the organisation can rebuild and restore public confidence and trust.
And the interim Deputy Director General Adrian Lynch referred to Tuesday's appearance at the Public Accounts Committee by Ryan Tuberty and his agent Noel Kelly. And Adrian Lynch countered some of the points made by them.
The misstatement of fees paid to Ryan Tuberty by RTE has precipitated the single biggest crisis in the history of RTE. At the outset, I would like to state that RTE takes full responsibility for these misstatements and the events that led to them. In relation to 2017, 18 and 19, how or why these inaccuracies occurred is the subject of Grant Thornton's current review. We await the findings and are committed to taking appropriate action in response and to update this committee again. Again, to be clear, RTE takes full responsibility for these misstatements. In relation to the misstatements for 2020 and 21, and for which RTE takes full responsibility, a number of comments were made in this chamber on Tuesday, which we feel bear clarification. Firstly, regarding the email that was sent by the former CFO of RTE to NK Management on 20th February 2020, RTE does not accept that a contractual commitment was given to underwrite the commercial agreement in this email. Secondly, regarding the proposal to underwrite Mr. Tuberty's payments, RTE again states that the request was known within RTE. However, the commitment to do so was not widely known. RTE's position is that, until the verbal commitment was given by the former Director General during the call of the 7th of May 2020, it had not agreed to underwrite the €75,000 payment per contract year. Thirdly, in relation to some of the commentary made here on Tuesday last, RTE must clarify that the proposal to underwrite these payments was central to the contractual negotiations between RTE and Mr. Tuberty. We believe that the substantive contract would not have been signed without the additional commercial agreement or the underwriting. Moreover, we contend that the payments of €75,000 per year for year 2 and 3 of the commercial contract were pursued by NK management, despite it knowing that the Renault contract was no longer in place.
That's Adrian Lynch there, and the committee has been underway for the past half an hour. We're going to update you throughout the programme on the developments there. I have Jack Horgan-Jones with me now, firstly, from the Irish Times political team. So Jack, your own paper this morning reported that what we could expect was a strong pushback from RTE against what Noel Kelly and Ryan Tubridy had to say on Tuesday, and that's what we've seen in the opening minutes.
That's correct, yeah, and a lot of this is contained in the opening statement from Adrian Lynch, which wasn't actually furnished to the Public Accounts Committee until, as I understand it, about 15 minutes before the off this morning. It came in about 9:15. And as it relates to some of the version of events that was put on the record by Noel Kelly and Ryan Tubridy on Tuesday of this week, there are a couple of key points to zoom in on. First of all is the relationship between the Renault deal, let's call it, i.e. the deal that led to the €75,000 payments being made, and the five-year contract, the main contract between RTE and Ryan Tubridy. On Tuesday, I actually lost count of the amount of times that both Tubridy and Kelly insisted that these were separate deals, separate entities that moved in parallel, but effectively had nothing to do with each other and certainly didn't have a relationship that hinged on making up for the drop in fees that Ryan Tubridy was experiencing in the main contract. Now, there's a clear pushback against that idea of a formal separation between those two elements of the deal from RTE today. Specifically, Adrian Lynch says that these payments, he says the proposal to underwrite these payments, i.e. the €75,000, was central to the contractual negotiations between RTE and Mr. Tubridy. We believe that the substantive contract would not have been signed without the additional commercial agreement or the underwriting. So that's clearly difficult to reconcile those two interpretations of the contractual agreements and the other deal with Renault, and how they interrelate, how they relate to each other.
So they insist that both were related. One wasn't going to happen without the other. There's another important point of difference, and I just want to bring this clip, Jack, to people, and I'll ask you about it afterwards. This is from Adrian Lynch again, and here he wants to challenge Noel Kelly's claim that he had never met Dee Forbes one-to-one without legal and finance being present as well. That was the claim that we heard on Tuesday. This is what Adrian Lynch had to say.
There was a meeting on Monday, April the 25th, 2022, at 12:45, a Teams call. Attendees, Noel Kelly and Dee Forbes. If you remember in the chronology that we have supplied, in January, February and March of 2022, Mr. Kelly came looking for the money that his client was contractually, RTE, were obligated because of this underwriting to provide that money. On that date, we knew the Renault agreement, as you've all seen, and the key thing that struck me when I saw it for the first time 2 weeks ago was that the Renault agreement is for a year and a quarter. Geraldine O'Leary, in her testimony, has been very clear about the fact there was no Renault deal after the first year. There were no other six events. And in that situation, Mr. Kelly then wrote I'm just going to give you one final thing. To Ms. Forbes, on April the 25th at 16:18, an email copied to nobody from Mr. Kelly to Ms. Forbes to say, "Hi Dee, I hope you are well. It was good to catch up today. If you could please get Geraldine O'Leary, to send me on the invoicing details." So we've taken full responsibility for the fact that RTE issued a credit note. At that point in time, Ryan Tubridy was being paid. It should have been declared. Even spoke to the ex-CFO who was here giving testimony last week. She's got the dogs in the street would have known that should have been declared. In terms of the two payments, which were at great expense, extravagant expense to the public purse, they should have been declared. So at that point in time in April, who did Mr. Kelly think he was sending the invoices to, given the fact that Geraldine O'Leary has clearly said the Renault deal was for 1 year? And I was too embarrassed to go back to the client because we had not delivered the events. There were no other events.
Thank you.
OK, Okay, so Adrian Lynch was at pains to make that point, and Brian Stanley, you heard there, was trying to move him on, but clearly he wanted to say what he said just then, Jack.
Exactly. It was a very purposeful intervention. I think it was targeted specifically at, again, a repeated set of claims made by Noel Kelly and Ryan Tuberty on Tuesday, specifically that they were labouring under the assumption throughout this period and at all times when they received the monies that it was Renault who was providing to them. And the thrust, and indeed explicitly more or less what Noel Kelly, or excuse me, what Adrian Lynch is saying here is that, and he says it in the opening statement, he says, we contend that the payments of €75,000 for year two and three of the commercial contract were pursued by NK management, despite it knowing that the Renault contract was no longer in place. So again, impossible, I would say, to reconcile these two versions of history that have now been offered to the Public Accounts Committee just a day apart.
Now, Colin Burke has been asking in the last little while about this agreement between Ryan Tuberty, RTE and Renault, and he asked RTE's legal advisor, Paula Mullooly, the Director of Legal Affairs, why it referred to Ryan Tuberty when the main agreement was with Tuttle Productions. Colin Burke said there were also side letters in the agreement and no mention of the fee. What did Paula Mullooly say in response to that?
I have to confess, Claire, that I was actually waiting to come on the line, so I didn't catch that,
okay,
that exchange.
I actually have it here in front of me. It's just appearing on my screen, so I'm bringing you this to you, and I haven't read it in advance. But she says that the tripartite agreement was not drafted by RTE. So Noel Kelly claimed that it was. Colin Burke said Noel Kelly said it was sent to him by RTE. Paula Mullooly said he's wrong on that. The agreement is sent to RTE by NK management, and if you look at the logo on all of that in relation to the agreement, it's clear it's coming from NK management. So it looks like in the opening, what are we, 45 minutes in here, Jack, that this is going to be a rebuttal of an awful lot of what Noel Kelly and Ryan Tuberty had to say on Tuesday.
I think that's absolutely the case. And you know, we've only moved into the first questioner after opening statements that have significant pushback against Tuesday's evidence. And already we have a point of divergence over who authored the tripartite agreement. I'm not surprised to see a focus coming to bear on the tripartite agreement that was supposed to be the kind of governing document for the €75,000 payments, because talking to members yesterday, they do want to know more, not necessarily about the legal obligation that RTE had to pay this, because I don't think that's seriously in dispute after Dee Forbes is said by RTE to have given that undertaking, but the kind of legal, or sorry, the documentary architecture that was built on, and if it rests entirely on this tripartite agreement that was written without reference to a figure of €75,000 that wasn't signed ultimately in the version that has been supplied to the PAC by anyone in RTE, that was only signed by someone on behalf of NK management in 2023, I believe, and that, you know, doesn't make reference to any subsequent years, only covers the first year, even though we know there were subsequent payments. And I think it speaks to a concern, and I think it's probably a well-founded concern about, as I say, the supporting architecture underneath the payments. You know, did it extend beyond the executive authority that Dee Forbes is said and RTE is telling to have used to approve the deal? And if it didn't, what basis is that to proceed on at all? So I'm not surprised to see PAC members homing in on this question in particular.
Yeah, I see in the last couple of minutes that the Director General, Kevin Backhurst, has been asked whether Ryan Tuberty can return to RTE, and he has said that a fair process needs to happen. He needs to talk to staff and potentially Ryan Tuberty. This is interesting because he was asked what salary Ryan Tuberty is being paid. And in response, Kevin Backer said that we're in discussions about that. We haven't settled on what we should be paying him yet. As of this week, no salary is being paid. Now, we have heard, I think, three different versions now of whether Ryan Tuberty is being paid or not, Jack. And I appreciate you're talking to me and you're not seeing these proceedings. But in the past number of weeks, we've been told he is being paid, he's not being paid, he is being paid. And today, this is the fourth version. He's not being paid.
Shocking. to be honest, I have an email that was sent to a colleague in my inbox from the RTE press office saying he is being paid. And I think we've had contradictory evidence on this point within the same Oireachtas committee hearing at times. And now we have it again. I mean, it's been said multiple times he is being paid, and now we have it again that he hasn't been paid. So maybe there's an agreement there that he will be paid, but no payment has happened in the 3 weeks since this emerged. But like, again, it just shows the capacity of this story and the participants and the main protagonists within it to double back over each other, contradict each other. And it is nearly impossible to trust in any of the narratives that are being offered when they shift so consistently.
Well, maybe the key line is this. Kevin Backer said, as of this week, no salary is being paid. But we'll try and get some clarity on that if we can. Jack, thank you very much. We'll let you go back now to looking at that committee and listening to it. Jack Horgan-Jones there from the Irish Times, because I have Brendan Lenehan, Managing Director of Navigo Consulting and a member of numerous boards. And Brendan, you were writing in the Irish Examiner yesterday of your experience of working on the boards, as I say, and being involved in business and governance. And you shared some of your expertise and your advice for RTE, and we wanted to talk to you on that basis. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning to you, Claire. Good morning to your listeners.
The big question that everyone is asking when you step back a little bit from the minutiae of what's happening at the committee hearings is just how the national broadcaster has ended up here. Do you understand that?
Well, you know, I, being on a state board is a really difficult job to do. And nobody wants to be, I think, where the RTE board is at the moment and leadership is at the moment. It's a very unusual dynamic. But a lot of clients have been contacting me to say, you know, both management and boards to say, could this be my organisation? And could I get to a situation where an external auditor is the first person to raise an alarm and suddenly we're into DEFCON 5? And I say to them, look, to get to that point, 6 or 7 standard features of boards and standard safety nets just must have not operated properly. I mean, if you take the Tuberty case, for example, the first of those is a specific remuneration committee, which RTE has, but didn't meet at all in the relevant period of 2020. And so that committee does two things, or should do two things. It deals with the high earners, which is fine. But actually, it does a really other important thing. It sets policy, which one of its advantages, it's an invisible tripwire. It says to management, here's the policy. If you want to go outside of this, come back and talk to us. Mm-hmm. Like what we're hearing this morning from Kevin Backhurst is actually policy about remuneration, which would be written down in most other organizations. You know, we don't do brokering or facilitating commercial transactions. We think things are too high and we want them to come down. So that's the first thing that has failed here, the remuneration committee. And we really don't understand why it didn't meet at all in the relevant period. The other committee that should do some heavy lifting here because of what Ryan Tuberty calls the fog of confusion about the figures is the Audit and Risk Committee. And I have no quibble with the people on the Audit and Risk Committee in RTE, but there's somebody missing. Because for the last 3 years, there's been no member of a recognised accountancy body on the Audit and Risk Committee of RTE.
And would that be standard in other organisations?
Yes. Accountancy is the language of business, and it's the language of the next set of things I'm going to come on to, which is the reports, dashboards, indicators, all the documentation that comes to a board. Accountancy is the language of that, certainly as regards financial matters. So, yes, in my experience, it would be unusual. That's not to quibble with the people who are there. They're fine people. But there's one key skill set that's missing. And, you know, things may have been different, but we get to a situation now where there's a lot of fog around the figures.
Mm-hmm. So what else went wrong then?
Well, you know, governance can appear to be as dull as dishwater to lots of people. There's lots of boring reports looking backwards, looking forwards. But I'd be surprised if there weren't signals in what came to the board. And I'm sure if Brendan will get to the bottom of this. Because what was happening in the Tuberty affair was something really important to the organisation. It's retention of talent, it's retention of sponsors, it's cutting of the cost base. And part of the job of the board is to have oversight of that. It's the annoying kid in the back of the car saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And a lot of indicators should have come to the board about whether we were making progress on that or not. And that obviously fell down because it never prompted the obvious question which someone should have asked in 2020, which is, so what's the story with Ryan Tuberty's renewal? If somebody had asked that question at the board level, perhaps things might have been different. Mm-hmm. And one of the key things, and you're now here into
psychology a bit. Like Kahneman won a Nobel Prize for the thinking fast, thinking slow, how people make decisions. And he makes the point that, you know, the time we take to do our work properly is often the difference between making good decisions and poor, mistake-ridden, biased decisions. Like, boards are really pressurized places. The Oireachtas has spent 15, 16 hours going through this. This would have been a 15 or 20-minute discussion at the Remuneration Committee, maybe 10 at the board. It's really key that a chair, a really strong chair, creates the time and space for people to ask that obvious question. So what's the story here? And you have good, curious people around the table who can challenge and be professionally skeptical and just ask great questions. I mean, in this case, there was evidence in 2019 of large travel and hospitality expenditures in Japan. There was a
which were publicised. They were publicised. Yes. We read about them in the papers, yeah.
Yes. But so you need people around the board table, and most of my clients will have this, who will say, well, what's that all about? What's the story? How does that work? And how is that reflected in all of the reports we're getting and the financials,
Brendan,
we're getting?
We don't know. I don't know. They may have asked those questions and we may not know that they asked those questions. I don't know that and what the response was. And maybe some of this was down to the structure where, and people have questioned this, where you have the board that you're referring to and the executive board as was.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be an unusual structure in continental companies in a way where the statutory board is simply just supervising. There are five roles the board has in state companies in Ireland, and they're set out really clearly in the state code. That's the Bible. And I looked back at the, because I'm just interested in this, I downloaded the transcripts of the three Oireachtas hearings so far and looked at the language that was being used about the role of the board. And in fact, there were aspects of the role of the board which come through really strongly, oversight and culture and compliance. But three really important roles actually were barely mentioned at all, and which are relevant here. The first is around ethical standards. It was mentioned once by a TD in a question, to be fair to him. At the, mm-hmm. And the ideas of leadership and collective responsibility at the board were mentioned three or four times and never directly about the board itself. So in many ways, as we think and talk about culture, the board itself is dialing down, I think, at the moment, its role in terms of ethical standards and its obligation to play a leadership role. And what I mentioned earlier, some of that leadership role is mundane, like articulating a remuneration policy that says we will do remuneration this way and we won't do it another way, but if you have some exceptions, come back to us and we'll think about the commerciality and we'll think about the ethics of it and we'll think whether this is a good thing or a bad thing for the organisation.
Mundane, but critically important, as we're learning. Brendan, thank you very much. Brendan Lenehan there, who is an expert on these things, a member of a number of boards and managing director of Navigo Consulting. We'll be finding out about more people entering into arrears on their energy bills after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.